This summer, President Trump has repeatedly stated that Democrat-run cities are seeing higher rates of crime. He made this assertion most recently while visiting Kenosha, Wisconsin, where protests erupted after police officers shot Jacob Blake.
It's all Democrat. Everything's Democrat. All of these problems are Democrat cities. We don't want to say it, but it is. The top 10 are Democrat. Then you go into the top 25 and take a look at that. It's the same thing.
But what do the numbers really tell us? Jeff Asher is a former CIA analyst and co-founder of AH Datalytics. He has been looking into the latest crime data, and he joins us now. Welcome.
Hi, happy to be here.
So, Jeff, to start, crime overall is down during this pandemic because people are doing less of everything, including criminal activity. But when it comes to homicides and shootings, it's a bit of a different story. There is an uptick. But the question is, are homicides up in Democrat-led cities? What do the numbers tell us when we look at that available city data?
Well, the numbers tell us that murder is up nationally. The only way to really tell that is to look a city-by-city basis. The way that we collect crime data in this country, it takes about a little over a year to get the actual crime numbers. So we won't know 2020's actual change in murder until September 2021. So the workaround is if you gather a large enough sample of big cities, you can estimate where the national trend is likely happening. And we've done this enough to show that it's a decent estimate of predicting the national change in murder. Overall, I have data from 38 big cities, and those show that murder is up about 26-27% this year relative to the same time frame in each city last year. If you break that down just by the Republican cities, something like 28 of the top 100 cities are Republican-led. So most of the biggest cities in America are Democrat-led, Democrat mayors, but we have data from 14 of the big cities that are Republican-led, and murder is up in 12 of those 14 cities, and overall murder is up 26% in those 14 cities. So I would pretty strenuously argue that what we have is not a Democrat or Republican issue. We have an American issue in that murder is rising in an unprecedented sense nationally.
What are some of the possible reasons for the uptick in these homicides?
Well, it's really hard to say. We barely have the data to be able to say that this trend is happening. To actually understand why it's happening, we still don't understand why murder rose in 2015 and 2016 nationally. There are a couple of hypotheses that we can make, but we really don't have a ton of data to support any of them. They just are the things that sort of make sense. One is an uptick in domestic violence, especially early in the pandemic. We know that there was a big increase in domestic violence as people were basically locked at home with their abusers. Another issue that's been brought up is sort of the stress on all sorts of people. You know, everybody's under mental health stress, they're under physical stress, they're under actual health stresses, and they're under economic stresses. And all of these things are affecting everybody in the country. And at its most extreme, it's plausible that all of these stresses added up are just contributing to more and more violence in our streets. And then the last hypothesis that I have is that it's a general decrease in police legitimacy from all of these horrific police shootings and killings that have been caught on camera and have led to widespread protests. And it's plausible that all of these things are contributing to the rise in murder. But again, these are all hypotheses. We have no data and evidence behind them. And I wouldn't be surprised if in 5 years, academic research shows that it's something else entirely.
But Jeff, the last thing you said about the legitimacy of the police really brings up another question. When President Trump calls for law and order, he's often asserting that more police presence means less violent crime. But your data analysis of four major cities found on average that most police spend very little time handling violent crime. Can you say more on that?
We found 1% of calls in the dozen or so cities that had data publicly available. 1% of those calls were on the most serious of violent crimes. So that's murder, rape, robbery, assault. The data highlights how much we ask police departments to do that is not responding to solving murders, the things that sort of make the CSIs and the law and orders. The vast majority of policing is not that. To your point, there is some evidence that increasing police officers can lead to decreases in violent crime and in murder, but we also know from our experience in this country in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s that reacting harshly, adding more police officers, adding more arrests, filling up our jails, these are not long-term, sustainable, successful solutions. There are definitely policy trade-offs that come with these, and it's happening in Democratic cities. It's happening in Republican cities. Lubbock, Texas is the one that the city that I'll use as an example, run by a Republican mayor. They've already had more murders than they've had since any year since 1994, any full year since 1994. They've never had as many murders as they've had this year. And I think it's important to acknowledge that it's not just a one-party problem and that our solution has to come from outside the box. It has to come from not just thinking about what is the way that law enforcement can tackle this, because it is an American problem. It's not just a law enforcement problem. It really needs to be something that we delve into and find non-law enforcement solutions to this, or not solely law enforcement solutions to this.
That's Jeff Asher, former CIA analyst and co-founder of AH Datalytics. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's go now to Chicago, a place that's part of this greater trend that's baffling experts. More than 500 people have been murdered this year. That's up from around 300 people this time last year. T.O. Hardiman works in the city to stop shootings before they happen by employing former gang members to act as mediators. He's the executive director of the Violence Interrupters Initiative, and he joins us now on the phone to tell us what he's seeing. T.O. Hardiman, welcome to Here and Now.
It's an honor to be on the show with you today, Tanya.
So you and your team work with both shooters and shooting victims, trying to disrupt the cycle of retaliation. Has this spike in homicide showed up in the work that you do?
Well, yeah, to a degree. There are some communities that in which we work in where we've had a reduction in shootings and homicides. Like, I work on the near west side of Chicago, and we're seeing a reduction in shootings in that particular area. But Chicago is blowing up right now because we've had a little bit over 500 homicides. And, you know, and then you had during the months of June and July, like July 2020, we had over 100 homicides. That has never happened in Chicago before. So, you know, with the lawlessness and everything else that's going on, we had major, major issues. But, you know, we're making progress in some areas. But, you know, a lot of times people don't see the progress because of all the numbers kind of eclipse the progress that's being made in some communities.
Let's talk a little bit about this lawlessness that you're referring to in June and July. It is true that one of the biggest spikes in Chicago did come in June around the first wave of George Floyd protests. But can you unpack this a little bit further? Are you saying people who felt they had scores to settle in any way were taking advantage of the fact that police were occupied with the protests?
Without a doubt, a lot of people had scores to settle. You had people, you know, traveling to rival neighborhoods, and the guys would see them in the neighborhoods. They would shoot them, you know, take their lives. You had a lot of conflict going on where people would loot some of the stores. They were being robbed for whatever they had in their possession. And you just had people, just like the movie The Purge, you know, you had people out here that just felt also that, like, they would never, ever get caught for shooting somebody as well, because the homicide clearance rate in Chicago is abysmal, like 14%, which means people get away with murder about 86% of the time. So the lawlessness, the rioting, and the looting definitely kind of contributed to some of the uptick in violence during the months of June and July, without a doubt.
T.O., your answer is not so different from what President Trump has been saying, but his solution has been to send in federal agents. Is this something that you want to see?
Well, this is the thing. Federal agents have always been in Chicago. The reality is this here. I'm not anti-police. I want to make that clear. But police have not been trained to stop killings on the front end. See, the police come after the crime has been committed. One of the main solutions, in my opinion anyway, is, like, my staff have mediated 52 conflicts this year where we stopped somebody from taking a life on the front end. What I'm recommending for the city of Chicago is that it's incumbent upon African-American men and leaders to take over their community. You know, I'm talking about in a positive way. I'm not saying talk down to the young brothers, but hit the streets around 5,000 strong for the next 6 months and mediate all the conflicts in Chicago. And I guarantee we can actually pretty much achieve probably a 60 to 70% reduction in shootings. The feds should do their best to intercept the illegal gun trade and stop the flow of illegal drugs from entering Chicago. That's what they should focus on, because illegal guns are being distributed all over Chicago.
Do you think this discussion that we're having about what the president is terming law and order within major cities is a distraction based on what you're seeing? Or do you feel like it's part of the overall conversation and finding a solution?
Well, no, it's a big time distraction because, you know, you got politics and politricks. You know, I respect the office of the president. You know, he gets it right about 30% of the time, but he gets it wrong 70% of the time. And according to a lot of the news outlets, he's pretty much in his own way contributing to a lot of the hatred that's going on in America right now because of some of his rhetoric. And he needs to kind of slow it down because I believe Trump has a good heart and a good spirit. But it's time for him to really become the president for everybody, not just a certain, you know, segment of our population.
T.O. Hardiman is executive director of the Violence Interrupters, speaking with us about what's driving the spike in homicides we're seeing in major cities, both Democrat and Republican, even as other kinds of crimes are going down. T.O., thank you so much for your time.
Appreciate you having me on. Thank you.